This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
This is Betting Weekly Premier League Show. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, alongside me, Nigel Seeley and Jack Wright. Match week 27 of England's top division, with the best plays from Saturday through until Monday. Nigel Seeley, of course, he's out in Dubai for the tennis. Nigel, sunning yourself. How is it?
Terrible. I would show you the view, but I'm pushed for time.
Are you really in Dubai? I think you're in Blackpool. Show us the view.
No, I can't, because my internet connection will go down and I've got prior engagements. I'm entering the karaoke contest in about half an hour, and I'm entering the French bowls contest against the Russians. So I haven't got time. I'd love to show you, but I can't.
Jack, we're back in London. It's a bit cold at the moment. How are you?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. I've avoided sunburn as well throughout the course of the week so far, and I won't show you my view either. So it's all good.
Well, you can see mine. I've got the nice red. We have had a week where Klopp's kids have copped one cup and are through to the quarterfinal of another. The question that BetRivers are posing, with a nice little side market on the site, is how many trophies will Liverpool win? Prices like this, Nigel: one trophy, which of course they've already won, plus 150. Two trophies, plus 115. Three trophies, plus 350. Or if you think that Liverpool will win four trophies, plus 3,000. What's your thoughts?
I don't really care, as long as they win the Premier League. I don't really care. Two trophies would do me fine. Well, they're in the mix and everyone. I think they'll probably win. I think they're the favourites to win the Europa League. So you've got to factor that in. I think they're going to be very hard to beat. As we said before, that Klopp wants to win that competition. It's the only one he has eluded him as the Liverpool boss. I can see why two's the favourite. The FA Cup's tough. Got to go to Manchester United. I know it's on paper, looks relatively easy, but I wouldn't want to take them in the FA Cup. So I think they'll win more than one, that's for certain. So hopefully win the big one, the Premier League.
Plus 1.152 potentially is the call. They are short price favourites for the Europa League, Jack, at plus 175. They rate as plus 200 for the league at the moment, behind Manchester City. FA Cup plus 300, biggest price of the three.
Yeah, I think we were here a couple of seasons ago when they were all gunning for all four trophies, ended up with two. So I say it wouldn't be a surprise to see a similar outcome this time around. Nigel's already said it. He'll want to win the Europa League. Obviously, he'll want to win all of them, especially the Premier League, to sign off in big style. But you'd expect him to pick up one more. As to which one it is, we'll wait and see. But a big thing for them, of course, is they've been getting by with the kids over the last few weeks. Won the trophy last week with them. Playing a big part in it. Got through in the FA Cup last night with them as well. So they've got their big guns to come back fresh for the running, which is going to be a big benefit for them.
Yeah, a lot of kids coming through, a lot that many hadn't heard of. Did for me last night. I backed Southampton on the Asian line. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's incredible. Bought that as well.
I didn't tell anyone.
Why don't you bet to win four and bought that? Bet Man City to win the Premier League, please. And then we'll all be all right. I could stay out here then for 6 months if you do that.
Liverpool are first up in terms of the title race this weekend. They play Saturday with Manchester City, Sunday, and Arsenal on Monday. They're away at Forest, Nigel. They're minus 195 on the money line. Now, one or two players might be coming back and fit enough to play against Forest away, but it's not going to be easy. 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. Most likely of the three to slip off, if they are to slip up this weekend?
Well, the kids have got to do the paper round in the morning. They go and play the match. It's going to be quite tough for them. But, I mean, I would, I think on paper, it looks a tricky little match. But I believe that teams now playing this Liverpool kids side, the pressure's on the opposition rather than Liverpool. I mean, the fans expect them to beat them. It's their opportunity to beat Liverpool. We saw when Chelsea played them, they were expected to go and beat those kids. They couldn't do it. And I feel that everyone looks at the betting markets and looks at team news and thinks, these players aren't good enough. How do we know? They look good enough to me. And, you know, I think the pressure's on the teams playing the kids. Would I bet them at minus 195? Certainly not. You know, Forest are a funny team. They could be brilliant at home or really, really poor. We don't really know what sort of Forest are going to turn up. They're in desperate need at the bottom of the table to get points, especially after Everton have had their 10-point deduction reduced to 6. So I would think that Liverpool would win it, probably by a narrow margin, maybe one goal. But would I bet them? Minus 195? Certainly not.
Liverpool maybe to grind it out, Jack, away at Forest this weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, same page, really. City ground's always tough when the crowd are right behind Forest. They were great at home last season, not been so much so this season. Nigel said it. They desperately need points because who knows what's on the horizon for them. So they're fighting and down at the bottom there. For me, again, yeah, couldn't be taking Liverpool at that price. I do expect them to win it. But I think if you want to... better, a decent price, a bigger price, and getting Liverpool on side, maybe Forest to be winning at half time, Liverpool turn it round to win at full time, potentially with the introduction of a few of their big guns, might be a way in. So yeah, they've been a bit sloppy in recent games at home, got away with it a couple of times against Chelsea and Southampton with them chances they gave away, but they've been conceding and then coming back, so I think that's a decent option.
Yeah, one to look out for potentially in that game, 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. It doesn't form part of our card for the weekend. We've got plenty of picks, though, from the boys over the next half hour or so. We're going to start with the London Derby. Saturday, 10 a.m, it's Tottenham against Crystal Palace. Tottenham are short price favourites, minus 215 here. Just on the money line, Jack, because you have got to play in this, but it's not the match prices. But, I mean, could you give a squeak to Palace here? Do you think that I got to a flyer under Oliver Glasner last weekend? It was an easy fixture, Burnley at home, but maybe their tails up. And Spurs, when they have been winning since the turn of the year, haven't been convincing.
Yeah, I think it's closer than possibly the odds would suggest, this one. I've done a lot of reading into Glasner since his potential arrival, and now since he's been there, and what's been happening on the training ground and how the players have taken to him. It seems he's got the media on side early as well, which is important for a new manager coming into a new country and a new league. And the players seem to have bought into his ideas. And he obviously got off to a fantastic result at Selhurst Park last week. So, yeah, I think they've got a chance. He's got a certain style of play that seems to suit the players that Palace have got at their disposal right now. And we've seen with Spurs that, yes, just as you think they're on a roll and are going to win a game comfortably, they'll throw in a bit of a wobbly performance. And as we saw a couple of weeks ago, Wolves went there and got a good win. So I wouldn't put it past Palace to upset a few few odds on punters here.
Yeah, a goal start. They are plus 114, incidentally, on the Asian line. Let's get Jack's selection, though. We go to the prop markets for the pick and a corners play, Jack.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going for over 4.5 Crystal Palace corners in this one. Anyone that follows that, because we win on Instagram, would have seen I put Palace corners up as my parlay pick last weekend. So if you're not following on there, make sure you do now. And it was such an easy win, to be honest. As I said, I looked into the style of play under Glasner. He will play with wing backs who push high up. He'll play with three up front. They'll play diagonal balls into the space. And so last week, yes, Burnley had a player sent off, but the bet was already home and hosed by that point of time. They won five corners in the opening 18 minutes of the game. Burnley had a player sent off on 35 minutes. They'd already won eight by then. They ended on 12 corners. So it shows you the emphasis there. And we hear a lot about Glasner and his kind of focus on set pieces and what a big part they play in the game. This is, of course, a tougher test going to Spurs. But stylistically, I think it suits them because we know how Spurs play. They'll play high up. They'll play front foot. They'll have their wing back to push right on as well. So there will be space to play in behind. And he's pinpointed Anderson to be playing long diagonal balls into the corners and look to get crosses into the box and filling the box up. That always leads to a high volume of corners. So we saw it last week. Anyone looking at the prior stats, I wouldn't read anything into those. That's obviously under Roy Hodgson. This is a completely different concept, a different style of play, and a play that seems to suit Crystal Palace. So 4.5 is a relatively low line. As I said, they smashed it last week. I expect them to clear that quite comfortably this week as well. Plus money, very nice price indeed. Just looking at Spurs as far as their concessions concerned, four of the last six, they've conceded this line. So that's enough for me to say that they are able to concede a few corners in this respect, given how they play. And especially with Glasner pinpointing two coaches now to make sure that they've got this as a focus point as far as their set piece coaching is concerned, where it used to be just their goalkeeping coach, Dean Kiley, that was in charge with putting stuff together. So it's now a real clear focus, and expect them to exploit it against Spurs.
Oh, really good analysis. Love that. That's over 4.5 total corners for Crystal Palace. Got to get ahead of the curve. That line could rise over the course of the next few weeks. Brentford-Chelsea next up, another London derby. This time, both of our handicappers have got some picks in this. Saturday, 10 a.m, draining week for Chelsea. Nigel, that League Cup final extra time defeat, an emotional loss, and then a late win against Leeds, a game that they had to win in the FA Cup. You would have thought it's a short trip to the G-Tech, but you tend to think that Chelsea could be running on fumes a little bit here.
I do think they're running on fumes, not only physically, but emotionally as well. I mean, that defeat against the Liverpool kids in the Carabao Cup final will be a very, very hurtful defeat. However much the Chelsea fans have sort of said that the average age of the team was much, their average team age was less than the average age. You know, these are World Cup winners in that Chelsea side, and there's players who played in big, big European competitions. To lose to those kids who, like, you know, we joke in the side, but there's 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. That was a very, very low morale defeat. I mean, it was really bad. You can see by Pochettino, he was absolutely gone in the interview after, devastated by the loss. I think he did really well to galvanise his team to get the win against Chelsea. I think they had to get that win against Chelsea. They had to get that win against Leeds. But I think that papered over the cracks, really. And that wasn't a full-strength Leeds side that went there. That was a reserve Leeds side. They'd rested a lot of their attacking players on the bench. And they dominated for long periods against a good Chelsea side. So I'm still not convinced by Chelsea this season. I really aren't. I mean, they're so in and out. They really are. Earlier in the season, Brentford went to Chelsea and won 2-0. They didn't have Ivan Toney in that match. And Nkunku has now got a fresh injury. He's out as well. Chelsea are desperate for a goal scorer. I know Cole Palmer has been getting some rave reviews, and he's going to probably go off to the Euros for England, but he's a shining light in a real poor team. You know, if you put Cole Palmer into the Man City team now, how many appearances would he make? 5? As a sub? You know, he wouldn't force his way into the first team if he went to Liverpool. Would he play ahead some of these players? No. Would he go to Arsenal and play? No. I mean, I think we may have got a little bit carried away about this kid. He's got all the emphasis on him was to score goals. You know, we saw he wasn't a natural goal scorer, and had the opportunity in Kelleher hit it straight at him. A natural goal scorer would have scored that without even batting an eyelid in that clear-cut chance in the final. And I think that Chelsea are very overrated for this match. I think they've come through two very, very long games. You know, a 3-2 win, which went all the way into 90 minutes, an emotional draining match in the FA Cup. Then, obviously, extra time. Losing it in the last gasp on last Sunday. So two big matches. And then going to Brentford. And I know Brentford aren't playing well. They've lost their last three. They were really disappointed last week. I bet them last week on the draw, no bet, as you know. But it was really because I thought West Ham were on an off day rather than Brentford being any good. Didn't work for me. But their other two losses prior to that were against Manchester City and Liverpool. So, like, we can forgive them a little bit. They've got players coming back from injury. They still created chances, still scored goals. And in Ivan Toney, they've got the best attacking option on the whole pitch, ahead of everyone at the Chelsea billionaires. If you look at the record this year for Brentford, the only teams that have beaten them at home have been Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool and Villa. So the top four have beaten them. And then there's been obviously a couple of other shock defeats in there as well. So they've only really get beat by the real big teams. And I don't consider Chelsea to be a real big team anymore. I'm surprised that Chelsea are very heavy favourites for him. I think Pochettino now knows that the FA Cup is it for him. It's so close for them to win a trophy in that Carabao Cup final. I think they're desperate to go back to Wembley again. They've got a great chance to get to Wembley in the semi-finals because they've been drawn against Leicester in the FA Cup. And silverware is all they need. And that is their only opportunity. We said about Brentford's record in London derbies. It's exceptional. Even if they got beat last week 4-2, it's exceptional. They've got a good record against Chelsea. Like I said, they beat them 2-0 in the season. And I think Brentford are underrated here. So I'm going to take Brentford on the Asian handicap plus a quarter of goal. So even if Brentford draw, we win half a stake. As long as they don't lose, then we're okay. And I'm taking -110. So a draw, we cash a little bit, half our stake. We get a push on half of it and a win on the other half. And as long as Chelsea don't win, we're okay. And I think Chelsea, those two wins, you know, that win in midweek has really just made the market think they're back, or they're sort of... I'm surprised by their odds. I'm putting it that way. I'm very surprised by Chelsea's odds to win at Brentford. So I'm going to go for Brentford to win this plus 0.25 on the Asian handicap.
We are fading Chelsea, but we're not fading goals, Jack.
Yeah, that's my angle in. Mine on the three total here, the three Asian total at -107. Not agree there with everything Nigel said in this one. It's been a tough week for Chelsea. Brentford will certainly earmark this as a game that they've got a great opportunity to win. Obviously played on Monday night, so we had a couple of days on Chelsea as far as rest and recuperation is concerned. They've slid down the table. They're five from the bottom, 5 points off the drop zone, so they need to get a win. I think it will see both sides attack this because Chelsea, mid-table, they need to improve on that, but their focus is going to be looking to try and get to that FA Cup final. They've got a favourable draw in that. But they did rotate a few players out. Cole Palmer, that Nigel's mentioned, was on the bench, although he did come on. He'll be in the starting lineup for this one, I would assume. So they rotated about half out. So expect, another rotation for this one. But the focus is on goals. So I say the style of play, the style of the game is concerned. I think Nigel's covered that off pretty well. So I'll just run off a few stats as far as how they look as far as goals are concerned at the moment. Brentford, as far as home games are concerned, ranked first in the Premier League for over 2.5 goals. 11 of their 13 have seen that, which of course would mean if there are exactly 3 goals in this game, we get a push, we get a refund on our money. What we want for the full win, which is what I expect, is 4 or more goals. That's where Brentford ranks second in the league. 9 of their 13 home games have seen 4 or more goals. So pretty impressive numbers. And as far as Chelsea are concerned, it's 9 of 13 have gone over 2.5 and 7 of 13 have gone over 3.5. When they're playing away from home, just drilling into the most recent games, the last 11 for Brentford, their goals average is 3.91. And the last 10 for Chelsea's exactly the same, 3.91 as far as their average is concerned. So plenty of goals across those. For me, it looks like a game where both teams are going to score. Brentford have only failed to score in one of those last 11 games, but only kept one clean sheet. And as far as Chelsea are concerned, they've only failed to score in one of those last 10 away games, haven't kept any clean sheets. So goals at both ends, which would then mean that, say, another one gets us at least a push. But I think this one's got at least 4 goals in it. Should be an entertaining one with both sides going for it. And therefore, the over 3 line is the one I'm attacking.
Yeah, Brentford are the most profitable team at home when it comes to the over 2.5 goal market this season. They're +230 to be leading at halftime. Incidentally, if you think that they can get out the traps quickly against their London rivals. 12:30 Saturday Eastern is Luton against Aston Villa. Luton +325, Villa -134. They are minus money favourites to win away from home. The draw +325 here. Nigel, Luton blown away by Man City in the FA Cup in midweek, 6-2. That off the back of a 4-1 league reverse at Liverpool. They have been involved in a lot of tight matches in the Premier League, but maybe just a sense recently here that against the better teams, they are just about beginning to be found out a little.
I think they've been a breath of fresh air in the Premier League. I think they've shocked everyone with their performances, but I think now they're going to hit reality with the bump. I think they are going to be on a massive fade list for me for the next, from now to the end of the season. The manager's been brilliant. The team have been superb. Their effort, their work rate, their commitment, they've got the smallest squad in the Premier League. They're hit by injuries. And all those really, really narrow defeats, long matches, tough games, you know, high tempo matches, you can see now they're leg weary. I watched them against Man City. I know it's Man City, but I mean, they some of the defending was shocking. They looked absolutely out on their feet in that match. The Liverpool game, they went 1-0 up. They were hanging out. It was a reserve Liverpool side, real bad Liverpool team in that side in the Premier League. And there was a huge market move for Luton on the Asian handicap. And they got found out in the second half because they played so much football, so much tight football and so much energy.
That was me that moved the market, incidentally. Go on.
Yeah, we know that. Every time, they just, to me, look like they're done. I mean, I just think they're pretty much done. I mean, look at some of their stats. I mean, they lost their last 4 after, you know, what was a good run, some narrow defeats. But in that 4 matches, they've conceded 17 goals in 4 matches. They haven't won in 5. And in those 5 matches where they're winless, they've conceded 21 goals. Now, that is shocking. You know, I know they've scored goals. I know they scored 2 in matches and 1 in matches, but to concede 21 goals in 5 Premier League games over 4 a game, that's just, you know, that you can gloss over it however much you like and turn around and say, oh, they're brilliant. They're great. They're a lovely little team to watch and they're great. But you concede 21 goals in the Premier League in 5 matches, you're getting relegated. There's no way you can hide that. And they're going up against the Villa side, who are on fire. You know, they had that little bad blip. They've won 2 matches. They're scoring goals, 6 goals in their last 2 games. Ollie Watkins is on fire scoring goals. The way that this matches up, the way that Villa counter-attack, the way that Villa will take the game to Luton, it'll be another high-scoring game. It'll be an end-to-end match. But ultimately, it'll come down to who's got the class in front of goal. And Villa are way, way above Luton in that aspect, and their defence is much more solid. So I love Villa here, minus 0.75 on the Asian handicap at minus 112. So I'm taking half of the unit will be on Villa minus a half, and the other half will be minus 1. So Villa win by exactly 1. We will lose small, but if Villa win by more than 1 goal, we will collect. And when you consider that Luton has conceded an average of 4 goals per game in their last 5, you know, there's a good chance that Villa could score 2 or more in this match, and I really like this bet. I was really tempted to have 2 bets on this match as well, but instead of my third bet, my strongest bet would actually be in this match as well. But I'm going to give you the bet, but I'm not going to put it down as an official play. But I didn't want it too much. But I think Ollie Watkins at plus 110 to score any time is an absolute tremendous bet.
Yeah, just looking at that, just pulled it up now. Yeah, and plus 360 for first.
Yeah, I think you know he's vying to become the top goal scorer in the Premier League, which is 3 behind Haaland now. He's got the most assists in the Premier League. He's got, you know, 3rd top goal scorer in the Premier League. You know, if this was Haaland just showed you what you can do against his team by scoring 5 goals, and the guy who's the 3rd top goal scorer in Premier League going there plus 110. I mean, if Villa's going to score, he's probably more likely to score. And I think that's a great bet because he's got 2 incentives. He's got an incentive to try to shoot down Haaland and win the Golden Boot, which he's got a realistic chance of doing. And he's also playing for a place in the Euros. He probably will go to the Euros regardless anyway, but he wants to really impress in the latter part of the season. So I was very tempted to give you 2 bets on this match and forget my 3rd bet. But I think Watkins here, I saw some books plus 130, which I couldn't believe. But I know Bet Rivers a little bit more cautious. They're plus 110. I still think that's value. I think he should be starting minus 105. This is a game that just screams goals. Both teams have scored. It wouldn't surprise me to see this being 4-2 again or a very crazy correct score. And to get plus money on the 3rd top goal scorer in the Premier League is very disrespectful for me. So Villa minus 0.75 is my official play at minus 112 because I do think Villa will beat a leg-weary Luton side who I think will run on empty now. From now to the end of the season. And they've also been dealt that hammer blow with Everton getting the 4 them points back. That is a huge, huge morale blow for them. So I think that's going to play a part in this game. But Watkins at plus 110 to score any time is another fantastic bet on this match.
Manchester City versus Manchester United is the marquee game in England on Sunday. It's a 10:30 kickoff Eastern with City short price favourites at minus 385, Manchester United plus 950. We're getting accustomed to see United at these sort of prices against City these days. The draw is plus 550. I mean, City, Nigel, they've won 14 of the last 15 matches in all competitions, but according to some, aren't playing as well as either Liverpool or Arsenal. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but they're sort of quietly going about their business and winning every single time they suit up, it would appear.
Well, we've been here before, haven't we, Man City? They just know what to do. They hit the afterburners on and they just go on this unbelievable run. But this is a derby match. I mean, you know, you're a Manchester boy, Dan. It's a derby match. A lot of people watch this show in America and look at stats and just throw out stats and turn around and say, oh, they average so-and-so goals a game. They average this per game. This is a Manchester derby. And I think a lot of those stats essentially go out the window in these kind of matches. So I know Man City won 3-0 in the reverse fixture early in the campaign. I know Manchester United have a very leaky defence. They've got injury concerns in their defensive positions. They've got an injury concern to Hoyland. I think that's a huge factor for the bet I'm going to play here because my bet I'm going to play is under 3.5 goals. I've got to play the under 3.5 goals here at minus 120. I know there'll be so many tipsters and there'll be so many people on social media in the next 48 hours or so, picking up this as an overs because they're purely and simply looking at the mathematics on the stats. We looked at Hoyland last week. Without Hoyland, see the price movement of what Manchester United went. Manchester United went from like minus 170 to sort of minus $2, 220,
yeah,
I think.
Minus
something
$2.
Like minus like 140 or something like that, just on the back of this kid that nobody rated 5 weeks ago. He's that important. So when you take him out of the side, where are Man United going to get the goals from? Fernandes is having a dreadful run at the moment. Rashford is having a dreadful run. He looks like he could be offloaded. So when you take one team that can't contribute to goals out of a 3.5 goal line, you've got to rely on the other team to score 4 for you to lose. So I think, and also I think this market here is two reasons. I think the market has looked into the average of the Premier League this season. Obviously, the last month was 3.8 goals per game or something like that, which was the highest in the Premier League that we've ever seen. We also see Manchester City coming on the back of a huge win in the FA Cup. But look at their league form. Their last four matches in the Premier League have all cashed under 3.5 goals. They've won a couple of matches ugly. And 3.5 to 2.5 is such a big, big line because a lot of them games have been exactly three. If you look at these matches over the years, I think three of the last four matches between these two sides have been exactly three goals. So if you're playing under 2.5, you'd be a loser. But if you played the under 3.5, you're a winner. So I think the fact that we can get -120 on under 3.5 goals makes this a bet as well. United have last five Man United games in the Premier League have all cashed under 2.5, under 3.5. So 3.5 is a big, big number. And I know that Man City is scoring goals for funding other competitions in Europe, in the Champions League and in the cup competitions. But in the Premier League, they've been quite dull. Man United going to the same without their top striker. Will Haaland play? I think he probably will. But, you know, they've got some big games coming up. They might decide to give Alvarez a run. I don't know. Team news is crucial. If you look at the statistics in this match, it's the last 11 years between these two sides. 9 of the 11 matches in this derby have gone under 3.5 goals. Only 2 have cashed over 3.5 goals. But 6 of them have cashed under 2.5 goals. So it shows you, again, that difference between 2.5 and 3, where you get exactly 3 as a winner for you. Don't fall into the trap of statistics. Don't fall into the trap of historical stuff like what we've seen this season. This is a derby match where Man United will want to stop Manchester City on a run to win the Premier League. You expect a little bit of something more output from them. Without the goal threat of Hoyland, that sort of brings in the unders of the goals rather than the overs of the goals, because I don't think Man United will contribute to the scoreline. And I think that Manchester City on their Premier League so far this season in recent weeks haven't been winning with swagger. They've been winning professionally, job done, move on to the next game. So it doesn't matter. Guardiola will be happy with a 1-0, 2-0 win here and move on to the next game. And I think 3.5 at -120 in a derby match is too high.
Speaking of stats, City profitable this season, both under 2.5 and under 3.5 this season. Don't believe all the numbers. Always look at the odds. Jack, briefly, Manchester derby thoughts from you.
Yeah, similar page. I think this reminds me a lot of the Liverpool game for United earlier in the season, when we expect them to go and get battered and they let in about 30-odd shots, but ended 0-0, didn't it? I fancy City to get the job done. I quite like the City win to nil in this one because, like Nigel said, without Hoyland, I'm wondering where the goals are going to come from for United. And that's plus money, which I think is a big swing from what City are to win it just outright. So it's, same game parlay would be City to win and both teams to score no on that one. And I also quite like under cards, which is kind of built up as there's loads of cards in this one. Andy Maddie, the referee, not massively prolific recently. And the recent history in this, not overly loads either. So that's a couple of leans from me.
A couple of leans from Jack there on the Manchester derby. But we like under 3.5 goals as the main play. Monday night football in the UK, 3 p.m. Eastern for United States watchers and bettors, is Sheffield United versus Arsenal. Arsenal are -670 now. They have been backed over the course of the last hour. Man. It's just
unbelievable.
Incredible.
It's honestly true.
They're -670. John, who does our graphics, just sent me the updated prices. He says, yeah, they're now -670. I mean,
what price did they open up then? I thought it'd be about -350 or something like that.
I don't know what price. I mean, this when I was putting the running order together this morning, they were -625, -630, and I've had to change it to -670. I've looked back over about 15 years worth of Arsenal games, and I can find Arsenal away from home at -1,000 at Sutton, who were non-league in the FA Cup.
Yeah. They struggled that night as well. I was there
when they played Boreham Wood in a friendly in 2018. They were -660, and they're -670 here. It's utterly incredible.
Sheffield United +2.5 on the Asian, or +2.25 on the Asian. It's got to be a bet there.
It's got to be a place. I mean, I can't
believe that. Do you know what? I didn't see that
when Arsenal played Derby in 2008 in the Premier League. This is Derby's worst ever season in the Premier League. It's the Premier League record for fewest points. Was it 11 points or something? What price do you think Arsenal were? I mean, it's a different era. What,
-250.
Yeah, well, close. I mean, they were, say close. They were -375. But it just goes to show how the game has moved on, how the odds have moved on in terms of the big teams, the very best teams are so much better than the teams right at the bottom.
Yeah. I'm staggered by that anyway. But sorry, Jack, we're stealing your thunder, mate.
No, not at all.
Jack's got a good bet for us here, Jack.
Yeah, for me, I'm going with Bukayo Saka to score. Similarly to Nigel talking about Watkins earlier, man in red hot form. And my angle in was like Arsenal are expected to win this. And as I said, they're expected to win it by, what, three goals. So they're going to be scoring it. Look, there's a bit of recency bias, I think, possibly in the fact that Sheffield United lost their last two at home, 5-0. Arsenal have won their last two away from home, 5-0 and 6-0. They won 5-0 in the reverse. But let's make no bones about it. Sheffield United are woeful. This is a complete mismatch. You know, you look at that Asian handicap and you are tempted in by a big plus money in a league game. You think that can't be right. But when you see how bad Sheffield United have been, I couldn't pull the trigger even at that. But and equally, I couldn't be backing Arsenal on a minus 2.5 handicap to try and cover that, to get any kind of price. So which way in a game you expect them to win? They're in great form since 2024. They've been electric in the league. 6 wins from 6, 25 goals scored, 3 goals conceded. Absolutely superb stuff. And Saka's been at the heart of that. He scored the third goal in that very impressive 4-1 win over Newcastle last weekend. That is the 5th game in succession that he's scored a goal in the league. He scored 7 goals across that period of time. And is looking like, say, that little break has done him the world of good. He was looking a little bit tired, a little bit leggy, and he's come back fresh and firing. And what I like about this is he's playing in a position on the right-hand side of attack, which Sheffield United really struggle with. I watched him against Brighton a couple of weeks ago, and yes, they had a man sent off. But Adringa, who was on the Brighton's right-hand side in that Saka position, ripped apart Sheffield United and scored 2 goals on the day. So I expect Saka to get on the score sheet here. He was plus 100 to score against Newcastle last weekend and duly obliged, but he's a bigger price this weekend. We'll see plus 128. So that for me looks a big price against this Sheffield United side that has conceded 66 goals this season. And what's more, they've conceded more of those at home, 36 conceded at home, including those 2-5-0 whoopings that I just then talked about, but also don't forget that 8-0 drubbing by Newcastle early in the season. But for me, a man in great form to get on the score sheet again, Bukayo Saka, decent plus money. I was surprised.
It's incredible, Dan, isn't it, really?
Dan, I've lost a little bit of track of the times because I'm obviously on my way. I'm a little bit all over the place with the time difference, stuff like that. Do Arsenal play their match against Porto in midweek?
No, it's the following week.
I was going to say, if they play on Porto on Tuesday or Wednesday, that 2.5 would be absolutely I'd be all over that.
The Asian line is 2.25 at minus 121 at the moment. The 2.5 line is minus 140. Saka and Nigel, you talked about this last week, and this is the Watkins bet as well. And I was trying to explain to someone here that I know first goal scorer is bigger, but when you expect to score a few goals against a team, anytime he's always, the better value. And as Jack's just pointing out there, plus 100, whatever it was against Newcastle, plus 128, is that simply because he's away from home? But I think it's key to point out to bettors here that why anytime can be better than first, even though the odds are cramped.
Anytime goal scorer now in some of these key men is just absolutely exceptional value, I believe. I mean, you put Hoyland when he's fit and coming into the run, you put Haaland in, but the market seems to have caught up with Haaland. Haaland goes off at like minus 250, minus $3. It hasn't caught up with a lot of these other ones because I think Jarrod Bowen, for example, at West Ham, you always get me like plus 110, plus 105. They're great bets, especially against the lower teams. And when the goals are up to 3.5 now, the lines are 3.5, they're great bets. I think the thing with Saka, and this is, he's on absolute fire, but I still think the market is not convinced he's a striker, he's a goal scorer. I don't think they really get him. They think Martinelli's got goals, or Jesus has got goals, Havertz has got goals. There's a lot of goals that are, Arsenal scoring a lot of goals at the moment, but they're all being shared around the pitch. So they haven't really got that. But he, when you look at his record, what is he, the fourth top goal scorer in the Premier League or the fifth top goal scorer in the Premier League?
13, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's got 13. Yeah.
Yeah. So the market doesn't look.
And he's on pens generally as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a good thing for England's fans, but anyway. But he's there. I mean, I think there's tremendous value on goal scorer markets. And there's even better value if you go down to the English lower leagues, like League One, League Two, and the Championship. I mean, you get players there who start off about 160, 170, and they score 60% of the goals for their teams, and 50% of the goals for the teams. I think it's a brilliant market, anytime goal scorer market, and you know you could perm some of them up in parlays, and what and you will get a big parlay cash in at one stage of the season for sure.
Just to give it some context, Nigel's dead right. Haaland this weekend is -240 to score anytime. That can be the difference.
Also with him, when you bet him, you take the chance he's going to play because he rotates all the time. With Saka, you don't. Watkins, they don't. Yeah. You know they're going to play. So you can bet someone at 240 and not even get a run for your money. That's the other thing.
Yeah, the other thing we mentioned a few weeks ago is the fact that this title race could come down to goal difference. So these sides are going to the 90th to score goals. And like Saka, as Nigel said, he's likely to play the full game.
Whether way you look at it, Sheffield United is +2.5, still a bet. Whatever you say.
I think you're right.
-7. Any approaching -$7, if anyone wants to bet that with me, you can have it.
I'm looking forward
to the video on the hammock on Sunday.
I've learned my mistake. I'm having the weekend off. I'm not doing it.
Best bets before you go, Nigel. What's your best bet this weekend?
Aston Villa -0.75 against a leg-weary Luton who are sliding down the table faster than Eddie the Eagle Edwards.
Jack.
Not fast. Go, Eddie. I'm going with the Eagles corners. Crystal Palace over 4.5 corners at Spurs.
What time's karaoke start, Nige?
It's tomorrow. Karaoke here. My missus has said to me, under strict instructions, I'm not allowed to sing. But the reason I'll weigh up the opposition and see how good they are. Then I might just throw a little cheeky one just to get them on their toes.
Look at the pay talent, the opposition on the karaoke night.
I'm going to say the ones you put up last night were quite good.
Oh yeah. Anyway, you want to see the view before you go? There you go.
Yeah, come on. Let's have a look.
There we go.
Look at that.
Green screen. That's beautiful.
Yeah. It works wonderful, doesn't it? Green screen these days. Nigel, Jack, thanks for your company. Good luck with your picks. It's a wrap for Match Day 27 of Betting Weekly Premier League Show. We're going to be back next week. That's if Nigel decides to come back from Dubai, of course, with EPL picks and plays. For now, though, from all of us, it's goodbye.